So guys, last week we had the Game Awards. Did either of you see the results of the awards, like the multiple categories, and obviously the main one, Game of the Year?
I didn't watch it, but I have seen the fallout of it.
What, there's fallout because of it?
I don't know. I'm aware that there is. I don't know what it is, but I'm aware that there is some. Yeah, there's. I think some of winners of the Game Awards are quite obvious, and then I think some of them are. I was a bit surprised, actually.
I was surprised that Spider-Man 2 didn't win anything.
Yeah, there's been a lot of memes over that.
Yes, they have. They've been glorious. Lot.
The thing is, I don't even think, from what I hear, Spider-Man 2 is a bad game. I think it's quite good. I think what I hear, it's just more of the same. That's probably why it's not won much.
Yeah, and they said it's not, it's because it's the first one, so it's like, maybe it's not. That's the thing about all these award shows. I don't give a toss about them, but I know the memes are going to be bountiful afterwards.
At the end of the day, most of, like, even like with a lot of awards, it's more just the popularity more than an actual definitive, this is the best. It is more popularity, but it's all fun and games, I guess.
That stuff for Christopher Judge for taking a pop at Call of Duty.
Yeah. I know that the latest Call of Duty, even IGN reviewed it quite badly. That's how bad it was. So, yeah, take that what you will. Like, I think IGN didn't even give it for, like, the campaign over a 5. I think it was, like, a 4 out of 10 or something. It was low.
Clearly didn't pay him enough money this year.
Or maybe. Anyway, so let's go down a couple of these. I'm going to start from the beginning. Let's go with the big one. So, the winner of the Game of the Year was Baldur's Gate 3.
We all saw that coming.
All saw that coming. That and Alan Wake 2 had the most nominations at the Golden Joysticks. Baldur's Gate 3 pretty much took every fucking award, so no surprise there. We had, for Best Game Direction, we had Alan Wake 2 win. What do you make of that?
I've never played any of the Alan Wake games, so I can't really make any comment about it. But when it says Game Direction, what is it specifically trying to mention?
Well, on the Game Awards website, it says awarded for outstanding creative vision and innovation in game direction and design. And from what I hear, Alan Wake 2 is quite a trip.
It's basically cinematography.
I hear there, actually, you're going to play it, aren't you, Chris, at some point?
At some point, yeah.
Yeah, I am going to shut the fuck up. Best narrative, Alan Wake 2.
Well, since he's a writer, that would make sense.
True, yeah. And I think with how the story unfolds, I'm kind of not surprised with Alan Wake 2 winning. But we're looking at the other nominees for this section. You also had Baldur's Gate 3 there and Final Fantasy 16, the new Spider-Man 2 and Cyberpunk 2077 Phantom Liberty DLC, I think. And that's what that is. We had Best Art Direction. Guess what? Alan Wake 2 again. Here's one that I saw it and I was like, okay. And then I've actually started playing the game this week. And I'll be honest, it fucking slaps. And it's Best Score and Music. The winner was Final Fantasy 16. I can tell you now, the fucking music in Final Fantasy 16 is fucking brilliant.
How would you compare it to the cult classics of Final Fantasy? Because I think one of the main reasons why 7, 8, 7 and 9 for me hit hard is because the soundtracks in those two are gorgeous.
Like, 16 does sound like what you would expect a modern Final Fantasy to sound like. Like 15, for example. Like, well, I should probably talk about this more in the main bulk of the episode. But there's already been songs in, like, the first hour. I was like, I want that on Spotify. And I want to listen to that again. And even, like, I think it's the main theme. Feel the Fire? It's fucking brilliant. As soon as I finished work today, I put it on straight away in my car. And I was just like, fuck yes. This is just such a good battle music. Best audio design? Hi-Fi Rush.
Yep, that's very well deserved.
Yep. I from what you said on the podcast, I was like, I bet that is deserved.
That's right.
Right. Best indie independent game. So best indie game. Sea of Stars 1.
That's a really good game.
Yeah, we all saw, I think, like, you know, last episode, we all sort of suspected that if there was an indie category, Sea of Stars would take it.
But then, either of you heard about Dave the Diver and Cocoon?
No. Yeah, I know about Dave the Diver, less so about Cocoon. But I've later come to find out that Cocoon is made by the same people who did Inside and Limbo, so I might check that out.
I think Cocoon's a little bit like Pikmin, but I could be wrong on that. And I hear really good things about Dave the Diver because it's a roguelike.
Yeah, it's like a roguelike management.
Yeah. Thing, isn't it? Best debut indie game was Cocoon, who won.
When you say debut, do you mean like when the game was released or
so,
a company's first?
Yeah.
Like, the company's debut.
Company's debut, because Sea of Stars isn't, for example, the company Sabotage Studio, Sea of Stars is not their first game.
Yeah, so when you said Cocoon was made by the same people as Limbo and Inside, surely it's not a debut then?
It must be the same people, but a new studio. Best mobile game? Honkai Star Rail. There you go, Brandon. I only say it because you like Genshin.
Yeah, barely played Genshin this year. But I know a lot of people were really hyped about Honkai Star. Yeah. Honkai. I don't know. Like, I think I like had like mobile game burnout. Pretty much.
Surely it should win the award for stupid fucking title.
Why?
Just say it out loud.
What, Honkai Star Rail?
Those words just don't go together.
Well, it's an Asian game company, so Honkai is bread and butter part of it.
Yeah.
Genshin.
Best action game? Armored Core 6, Fires of Rubicon.
My Little Pony.
That's one I wanted to get around to and never did.
Best action adventure, Tears of the Kingdom. So I actually won an award. Best RPG, I bet you cannot guess. It's Baldur's Gate 3. But on the nominations for this, we did have Final Fantasy 16, Sea of Stars, Starfield, and Lies of P.
I'm sure we'll talk about one of those games later.
I'm sure. Best fighting game, we had Street Fighter 6. One I've been debating checking out at some point, and I've never played Street Fighter.
Well, is that or like Mortal Kombat, and everyone's ripping into that?
Best family, Super Mario Bros. Wonder.
I mean, we all said that because of how digestible and easy it is to get into.
Best sim/strategy, it was Pikmin 4. I'm a bit sad that Fire Emblem didn't win, but then out of the five that were here, yeah, Pikmin 4 probably deserves it anyway. Best multiplayer, apparently it's Baldur's Gate 3 again. But then I saw my mate a couple weeks back, and he was saying that he'd done a couple playthroughs of Baldur's Gate 3 and he just plays it with his mate, so the two of them make their own character and just play through the game together. I forget that's a thing that you can do. It's kind of like the how you experience D&D. You just have your own character. Best adaptation, we have The Last of Us.
Yeah, that's fair.
On this, the nominations for this were Castlevania Nocturne, Gran Turismo, Last of Us, Super Mario Bros. Movie, and Twisted Metal. Apparently, the most anticipated game is Final Fantasy VII Rebirth.
Yes, because all the Final Fantasy nerds are just want more of it.
Yeah.
Because, like, for the Final Fantasy VII Remake, I feel like I would have probably loved it more if it wasn't that play style. Like, I like the turn-based style of the older Final Fantasy games.
I feel, I don't know, I think my opinions on that might come into the main episode, so I'm going to not say anything. I think there's not really many more. Yeah, there's not all the rest of them are esports stuff. The only last one, just because... I'm just gonna mention it just because content creator of the year, it was Iron Mouse. There you go. And that's the Game Awards. I think, to no surprise, some of those were quite obvious. At the end of the day, most of it's popularity.
Well, let's finish off this section. As the Game Awards said to the creative director of Tears of the Kingdom, wrap it up.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Victory Achieved Podcast. Not only are we a video game podcast, but we are now doing a Game of the Year podcast. Woo! As we just mentioned in our cold opener, we've just recently had the Game of the Year awards, and we thought we'd dedicate, as we did last year, we'd do an episode sort of wrapping up 2023 for what we consider as, obviously, the main bulk will be the Game of the Year, but also what our media and other bit of content of the year is. Where do you guys want to make a start?
Well, before I guess we start talking about our opinions, I asked a few of my friends, a few of our friends, and I thought I'd get their opinions on what their Game of the Year is, because, you know, I think it's a bit more interesting to hear what other people think than just us. Did either of you know anyone else's opinions for their Game of the Year?
No, because I'm a shut-in.
I know people have opinions, but they're not mine, so I don't care.
What about your girlfriend, Brandon? What's
Oh, Baldur's Gate.
That's there you go.
Baldur's Gate.
There you go. Well, didn't you ask Adrian's, Chris?
I did. She said Alan Wake.
As well as Jedi Survivor.
Yeah, Jedi Survivor 2.
Yeah. I asked Weldy. He said a game called 30XX, which I have not heard of.
Oh, I know that one. That's I think it's like a Mega Man sort of roguelike.
Makes sense. I'm sure I'm interested to hear what Weldy's opinions are on Super Mario Bros. Wonder when he finally gets his hands on it. Mm-hmm. Whenever that will be. From that same podcast, the Retro Smashed, Andy said Tears of the Kingdom. Mitch said from Retro Smashed, Resident Evil 4 and Alan Wake 2. And Ricky from Retro Smashed said Super Mario RPG and Resident Evil 4. So quite some big hitters there.
Mm.
I asked mine and Brandon's friend Callum. He said Tears of the Kingdom. I asked, all three of us know her. Erin, she said Baldur's Gate 3, which comes as no surprise. I asked my mate Jamie. He said Diablo 4. I asked, Jay Brandon, he said Mortal Kombat 1, but he also said Gran Turismo 7 in VR. Well,
surely he's meaning for that.
I don't know. He likes his VR. I asked Jess, who you are aware of, Chris. Hers was Final Fantasy 16. I asked my mate Jono, his was Baldur's Gate 3. I asked my mate Joe, his was Resident Evil 4 Remake. I asked my mate Josh, his was Alien Darkest Descent. I think it's a bit like XCOM.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. Top-down strategy in real time.
I
tell you what, the great thing about name-dropping all these people, we'll know if you've listened to this episode. You'll say, oh, I've got a name-drop.
Yeah, I asked my mate Mason, he said Hogwarts Legacy / Starfield.
Sorry, Jason, you're wrong.
I asked my mate PJ, he said Resident Evil 4 Remake. I asked someone from my old work, Ronnie, his was Final Fantasy 16. And I asked my mate Tom, his was Starfield / Warhammer 40,000 Dark Tide. Because that actually came onto Xbox this year, although it was released on PC last year.
Okay, I've got a quick question regarding that. So when you get games which have basically ported, moved consoles, could you, would you still call them, say for example a game came out late 2022 on PC and then released early 2023 on console, theoretically how does that work in terms of Game of the Year nominations? Would you do the late 2022 as it, considering it's released as a 2022 edition? But I don't know, how does that work?
I'd count it as being released in 2022, so I wouldn't count it as a game.
I would as well, but
yeah,
unless it got re-released as a sort of definitive edition with DLC, then maybe I'll count it.
Oh, in which case it'll probably be Skyrim Game of the Year every fucking year.
That's true, isn't it?
I'm in the same boat as you, Chris. Personally, I would say Dark Tide is a 2022 game. But, I understand where my friend's reasoning's coming from. But I think you
just have to specify, it's Xbox edition.
Yeah. But there's some opinions of people who listen to the podcast, some people who don't listen to the podcast, and some people who are in our lives, and some of our podcast friends, like Adrian and the Retro Smash Boys.
But because this year has been absolutely stellar for games, normally we go for just a game of the year each, like we have done previous years. Yeah, bollocks to that. There's too many good ones. So instead, we've basically racked up a top five games of the year because there's too many.
Well,
it's been a fucking great year for games.
I guess that is true. But shall we list off all the games that we have a podcast have played this year?
Oh. If I've not played them, then I've not made a list.
Well, I mean,
I've literally probably played five new games that came out this year. So if we were to list a top five, it's by default what I've played for a little bit.
Okay.
I've got more than that. So I've got fucking honorable mentions as well.
Okay. But on our podcast, and I am going to include Adrian because there's one that I'm going to be getting at Christmas, but I haven't played it, but Adrian did and she was on the podcast. So I'm going to count it. But we had 21 games that were released in 2023 that we've spoken about. Well, I say 20, but the 21st will be spoken about this episode on our podcast. So we have had Advance Wars, Amnesia, Atomic Heart, Baldur's Gate 3, Blasphemous, Bolt Gun, Dead Space, Final Fantasy 16, Fire Emblem Engage, Hi-Fi Rush, Legend of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom, Lies of P, Metroid Prime Remastered, Octopath Traveler 2, Pikmin 4, Resident Evil 4 Remake, RoboCop Rogue City, Sea of Stars, Star Wars Jedi Survivor, Starfield, and Wolong Legacy. They are all the 2023 games we spoke about on our podcast this year.
Not bad going when you put it in like a credits format like that.
So yeah, quite interesting. A varied list of games. There's not really any fighting or sports games, but
what about that game, Chris? Did you mention that game that Chris featured in?
Yeah, I'm in a fucking game.
I forgot about that.
I just remembered it. I was like, hang on a minute, I remember one.
Fucking game, Eugene's Thunderball. Oh, that's game of the year then, because it's got me in it. There we are. Right, wrap it up. We're gone.
Right, end recording. Boom. There you go. Okay, there you go. 22 games, that as well. So
yeah, not bad.
I think how we should do this, how I planned it in my head, is just to rattle off my games of the year, but not go into too much detail. Just get it over with and just do it that way.
Okay.
Shall we do it one at a time?
Lead the way, boss.
You go first then, Chris.
Fair enough. I've got my list right in front of me. I came prepared this episode.
I'm prepared as well. Not the only one.
I don't want to forget. I don't want to do what I normally do. Like, that's my top five games of the year. Oh, bollocks. I forgot about this one. Okay, so... I'm tempted to do in no particular order, but it's really splitting hairs when you boil it down. So, number five, game of the year for me, Hi-Fi Rush. I mean, it's got the best final boss fight I've had in a game for a very long time. I was super hyped for it. The sound design's amazing. The soundtrack's excellent. Honestly, from chapter 10 right onto endgame, if you play it as one continuous sequence, you will have one of the best gaming experiences of your fucking life. It was fantastic. And for a game I thought might get on my tits because it was like the characters are a bit hipster. They've all got hipster names like Chai and Kale. It's going to annoy me. It did not. It made me laugh. Mm. And again, anything that makes me laugh in this day and age, fucking yes. So that's my number five.
Mm-hmm.
Number four, I'm going to go with Sea of Stars.
Mm-hmm.
Sea of Stars was a fantastic throwback RPG with phenomenal pixel art. There's a section about two-thirds of the way through the game where it sort of mixes 2D pixel art and 3D, and it's fucking mind-bending. I've got no idea how they pulled that off. The story's stuck with me since I finished playing it, and the soundtrack's really good as well. I've legitimately put most of the songs on my music player and listen to them without irony. So, yes, thank you. So Sea of Stars, number four. Number three. I've just looked at my list and now I'm thinking, oh no, I may have made a critical error.
Oh no, is it what I think it is?
Number three. Oh, I'm staring at it.
Is it what I think?
Number three, I'm going to go with... I don't know. Fuck it, I'm going to go with RoboCop.
Okay, it's not what I thought. Okay, then I think I've worked out your top two.
Okay, I'm going to go with RoboCop Rogue City. I've been replaying it very recently on Twitch, so it's very fresh in my mind. In fact, I was playing it today. I've just got a smile on my face the entire time I'm playing it. It's just a fun time to play. If you know the films, it's a fucking stunning love letter. And I'm a massive, massive RoboCop nerd for the first two films. And yeah. Just having a great time with it. The combat's so visceral and you feel every single shot. It's great. It really is. I'm having the sort of dialogue options is sort of warranted a second playthrough to see what the other options are. But yeah, I'm going to go with that. Number two. I mean, I've got it tattooed on me. It's Resident Evil 4 Remake. It's going to be my number two spot.
I knew it.
Yeah. What's not been said about Resident Evil 4 at this point? There's not a lot. It's just a really good game. The DLC, Simon Ada, added even more goodiness to the game.
I still yet to play it.
It was a good. I very much enjoyed it. I got a platinum trophy in it. I've played the crap out of it. So that makes my number one game of the year, which I don't think will come to any surprise.
No.
I'm going to go with Lies of P because, guys, we're called Victory Achieved Podcast. We love our Souls likes. I fucking adored Lies of P. I expected not a lot from it. I was completely blown away. It's so rewarding. It's got a load of polish. The new game plus and even new game plus just keeps adding to skill trees. And just every time you beat a boss, you think, oh, what next? It's like, here, have another upgrade to upgrade your character. Just fuck it, keep keep it going. It's just astounding. I had so much fun playing it. I've played it through like 3 times and debating doing a 4th one already. And it only came out a few months ago. And I'm not bored of it. I could quite happily keep playing it. I want to keep playing just to see how far the skill tree keeps going for every new game plus cycle. And they keep updating it and adding new things. Like even only a couple of weeks ago, they added like a few more upgrade materials to make it slightly easier. They've rebalanced some of the weapons. And each iteration, people have been moaning like, oh, it's making it easier. It's like, no, it's making it more balanced. It's just making the game better. If the game was launched like that, you wouldn't have an issue with it. Yeah. Although I do get to say, I played it when it first came in, so I did it on hard mode.
We did.
I know. Lies of P was fantastic. But I want to give a few honourable mentions just very briefly. The first one being Blasphemous 2, because as soon as I said Hi-Fi Rush, I went, fuck, I meant to say Blasphemous 2, because I really enjoyed that game.
Oh, that is true. I'm surprised that actually wasn't.
Yeah, I started ticking down, and when I got to number 3, I was like, oh, fuck, I meant to put Blasphemous 2 there, and I didn't. Whoops-a-daisy. Yeah, another Souls-like Metroidvania, fantastic game. Pixel art is amazing. It's great. It's basically more of the same as the first one, and I really like the first one as well.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the last honorable mention, I didn't put this in the list because I thought it's too close to the original, but Dead Space Remake I very much enjoyed as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I thought that was a great game, but again, it's too close to the original to say. I don't think it quite qualifies as a game of the year.
Yes,
for that reason.
Someone I messaged today over their pick, they did say they've played Dead Space Remake and really enjoyed it. So, and you said you spoke highly of it when you played it, and I've heard other podcasts speak highly of the remake. So, yeah.
Yeah, so top 5. I still had top 7, and even then, any one of those could have taken the top spot quite easily.
Mm-hmm.
So, been a good year.
Yeah.
Who's next?
Brandon?
Yeah, I don't mind going next. So, as I've already mentioned, I've really only played 5 games this year, and I've sort of already listed them in order of how I found them. So, my number 5 on the list, by default, just because I've played a bit of it, is Starfield. And I have a feeling that if I played a 6th new game this year, Starfield would immediately drop off the end of the list. It's not really
We basically poo-pooed it. So.
Well,
yeah.
I'll just say this. I watched a 40-minute video on Starfield yesterday, and I was like, yep, no wonder it's been like review bombed and just so many people dissatisfied. It's like, on a gameplay standpoint, it's worse than fucking Fallout 4. Fallout 4 has more going for it than that.
Mm. It literally feels like that Bethesda have just kept the same game engine from 12 years ago and just gone, let's just give it a little bit of spray paint over the front of it. So yeah, so by default, Starfield is 5th on my list. And then above that is a game which I keep thinking on the back of my mind, I need to go back and finish it. I want to finish this game. And that game is Wolong Fallen Dynasty. It was my most anticipated game of 2023. I remember seeing the trailers in 2022 going, I cannot wait for this game. You know, it's Team Ninja. It's like the next one for like the Neo series, like that same thing. But I don't know what it is about it, but I just couldn't get myself so invested into it. Don't know why. It's not like it's terrible, like the combat and it's fun, but I just don't know what it is that I can't seem to get invested into. Number 3 on my list is Sea of Stars. You know, had a fantastic, I don't know necessarily how far into it, so I can't really say I've got like such a strong opinion of it. Same thing for like my rank number 2, Baldur's Gate 3. I've played like bits of both, but I've not really played into like a full completion to be able to get a full sort of admiration for what it is they do well. But obviously that just leaves one game that I've missed out, and it's going to be very painfully obvious. My game of the year is Lies of P. I did not even know this game was coming out until like the demo appeared on the PlayStation and Lacey played it, and I was just like, oh, what's this game playing? And she was like, oh, it's Lies of P. And then as more and more information about the game came out, I just fell in love with it. And likewise with Chris, like, there's just so much in the game, and for that's it, literally, like, as a game debut, it was fucking phenomenal. Like, they completely took all the correct aspects from any Souls-like game and just mashed it together with amazing story as well, and a lovely tease at the end with the red shoes. I'm just like, mwah, mwah, beautiful.
And yeah, and the final boss in it is fucking odd. Going for the true ending,
oddly enough, the last boss sort of was a bit of a come down for me. Like, it just seemed like, you know, that same sort of fight where you fight Radagon and the Elder and the Beast at the end of Elden Ring.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's just sort of like some sort of mash melee.
I'm not on about that boss. I'm on about the true boss.
Oh yeah. Sorry, I thought you were still on about that one.
No,
I've been going through my second playthrough. I want to go to that boss, but I've not got to there yet, so I don't know anything about it.
It's fucking odd.
Yeah, so I look forward to that in my new game plus. But yeah, for me, Lies of P smashed it.
And that leaves only one, me. Like Chris. Well, I played 10, 20, 23 games. I'm not going to do my bottom ones. I'm just got... My honourable mention is Octopath Traveler 2. Literally, the more I play of that game, the more I feel like it feels like a little bit of a course correction from the first, and it feels like it's trying to evolve from the first game. And the more I play, the more better it gets. But, you know, I've said enough about that before. So my actual top five. At number five, it's Pikmin 4. This Pikmin 4 is one of the best Nintendo games I've played in a good while. It might be the best Pikmin game. I don't know. I've not played Pikmin 3. It definitely is a game that pushes you as a player. In Pikmin 2, there were these... there was two player, and it's taken... On Pikmin 4, it's got those kind of sections, but in the story mode, and it really pushes you to use everything, all your assets, to win the scenario. And they're some of the best bits of the game, where it just really pushes you as a player. But then, you know, the stuff, going into the caves, gathering Pikmin, you know, it's the general stuff you come to know if you played enough Pikmin. It's the tightest it's ever been. It's the most fluent. It's such a beautiful looking game. Pikmin 4 is my number 5. And number 4, it's Resident Evil 4 Remake. I disagree with everything that Chris has said. It's such a good remake. Resident Evil 4 is just such a good game, and the remake just tightens it up, makes it more modern in some really good ways. Some of those are gameplay, some of those are narrative. It looks fucking amazing. I have yet to play Simon Ada. I was planning to before today, but I didn't. So, but I absolutely love Resident Evil 4 Remake. And that's my number 4. And number 3, I paid over 100 quid for this. It's Fire Emblem Engage. You know, I bought the deluxe edition. Do not regret it. This is easily... As soon as I played it, I knew this was going to be in my top 5 this year. It's the best gameplay-wise Fire Emblem's probably ever been. And I think it's one of the most... I think my number 2 and my number 2 game and this game are the two most interesting games I played gameplay-wise this year. Fire Emblem Engage has... You can literally break the fucking game if you know what you're doing. And it's so interesting seeing people use everything you're given to destroy the game in a good way, like absolutely win scenarios just by putting certain emblems on your characters that shouldn't work but absolutely do. It's fascinating. It's the gameplay that make Fire Emblem Engage. My number 2 is Baldur's Gate 3. I can't get enough of it, man. And it's such a narrative masterpiece. The way, you know, there's so many ways you can go into, you can do the quest, and depending on the class, the character you make, and the characters you recruit, and the way you build your character depends on how the narrative goes forward, how it changes, and the gameplay. Like, there's a bit where you have to go into a goblin camp, and there's so many different ways to approach that. I just walked in, and then eventually found the druid, and then killed everyone. But you can, if you're a druid, you can talk to all the animals and go around like that, or you can decide to just help the goblin camp and be evil, or you can decide to do, you can, like, kill the leaders outright, or you can kill them sneakily. It's just incredible how much freedom Baldur's Gate 3 gives you as a player. I think it is a game that if you've never played something like that, there's some teething issues to, like, trying to get to grips with it. Because after a number of hours, I did think, like, should I restart my game? I was like, no, let's just carry on. I'm glad I did, because now I know how to play it. It's just so fun. And I feel like if I've beaten it, I think it would be my number one. But my number one is The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. When you put in 200 hours into that game, yeah, I'm not surprised it's my number one. My opinion has gone down a bit, actually, on Tears of the Kingdom, but I absolutely love it, and it's in my top five Zelda games. I think, on a story standpoint, I think Breath of the Wild delivers its story better than Tears of the Kingdom, but I think Tears of the Kingdom has better highs than Breath of the Wild. And gameplay-wise, this has some crazy game-breaking gameplay that is ridiculous, where you can make so many different contraptions, and then you can watch someone make a man with a dick on YouTube as well.
Oh yeah,
it's the very first thing I saw about Tears of the Kingdom when it came out,
and it has the best, gameplay-wise, has the best Ganondorf fight in the franchise, influenced by From Software games. Literally, it's such a great fight. I wouldn't say it's the best written Ganondorf. He's a very good Ganondorf, but when they created Wind Waker Ganondorf, they created the best Ganondorf, but there you go. Tears of the Kingdom, easily my game of the year. Comes as no surprise. I've even got all three amiibos as well. And I've actually got the special item for each one now. The last time I used them, I got back-to-back the Zelda and Ganondorf item. I was like, okay, fair enough. I absolutely love Tears of the Kingdom, and I will be probably putting more hours into it eventually. I played it that much, I had to force myself to come off it, because I just couldn't stop. Mm. Yeah, there's my top five. There's our top fives.
Actually, you know how I said I made a list, so I'm, you know, prepared and organised? I still fucking forgot one.
Oh, for fuck's sake, Chris.
And I've only just got reminded of it because someone's just posted it in my Discord.
What's that?
I want to give one more special honourable mention to Bolt Gun. That game is fucking fun.
I mentioned Bolt Gun earlier.
Yeah, I just didn't have it on my list. So it was to be by. So, you know. Yeah, Bolt Gun. Pixel art, Doom shooter. One downside, it needs a map. Apart from that, it's great.
Mm.
There you go.
I mentioned this another episode or a few episodes back or last episode. I feel like all three of us coming into this episode, I think all three of us knew what each of our Game of the Year was.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I knew both of yours were Lies of P, and I think you both knew mine was Tears of the Kingdom.
Pretty much. I'd have put money on it.
Yep.
No surprises for anyone.
No surprises. But I think it's interesting what we had for our, like, from like 2 to 4, because for each of us that, well, Brandon, you just didn't play enough. We'll just say that.
Yeah, it's true.
We made it up for you, Brandon.
Yeah. We just went, oh, you've played a bit of this. There you go, Brandon.
Brandon, pretend you've played Bolt Gun and that can be number 5 instead of Starfield.
Oh, yeah, by default, yep. So Starfield's now number 6. I just watched a video about Bolt Gun, so Starfield is now 4.
There we go.
you watched the Naked Jakey episode, that video that I did. There you go.
I just watched the cinematic trailer. That was enough.
Even the trailer is better than Starfield.
Yeah.
That says a lot about the game.
All right, what category should we move on to next?
Well, before we do, how did we, about all the games we played this year, how do we feel 2023 stacked as a year of gaming?
I call it a 50-50 year. So
I called it incredibly weird.
Why I called it a 50-50 is because there's quite a few hype games this year, which, for me, if I could have retained a bit more into Wolong, I feel like I would have felt better about this year, and it probably would have made me think differently. But because my most anticipated game of the year didn't hold up to what in my head would come out as, that put a downer, but obviously when Lies of P, like the game you didn't even know was coming out, sort of smashes it, you're like, oh, okay, it's not that terrible.
I feel like this was a year where there were some catastrophic releases like Redfall, and there's been one literally this week. I think it's called The Day Before, I think it's called. And literally it's released and like 2 days the studio shut down.
Why?
I think the game's that shit. Like, I don't know why it's really bad. It's just, you know.
The thing is, when it comes to like games failing, there's always like loads every year that it's just sort of become white noise now for a game to fail.
True. I just think there was a bit more more commercial failures than previous, or maybe it's just what I've noticed. Maybe I could be wrong.
No, I'd say I really ought to like compare like the year on year like game releases, because everyone says like, oh, 1998 was a fantastic year for games, if not like the best year in gaming. But I think think this one's been really, really good as well.
I think so.
This is certainly up there. I mean, there's a load of games I didn't even get to play. I didn't get to play Tears of the Kingdom. I didn't get to play Golders Gate 3. Fire Emblem. There's loads. I just didn't get around to. And no. I know they're all going to be great games. I could have probably easily made a top 20 of them.
Except for like Elden Ring last year. I can't even really remember what came out last year.
Shredder's Revenge.
Oh, well, that was your top game.
That was my one, yeah. I'm still playing it a year later.
Well, I can't remember what else came out last year.
None of us said Pokemon Scarlet or Violet.
Oh, I wonder why.
Oh, well, last year. Oh, yeah, that came out last year. And you had Pokemon Legends Arceus. Oh, yeah. I can't really remember what came out last year. It's just Elden Ring.
You know what? I actually thought Scarlet and Violet came out this year. It was like a year ago.
Horizon Forbidden West came out last year, but then just like its predecessor, it got beaten by another fucking open world game.
Mm.
That's just going to be its fucking legacy.
I played that for all of 20 minutes.
My mate messaged me saying, oh, have you played Horizon? I was like, oh, yeah, I bought it back in 2016. Not played it. Oh, yeah, God of War Ragnarok came out last year.
Not even finished the first God of War.
I can't really remember what came out last year. I can't remember some of the big releases from last year. I know we've just mentioned a few, but I meant some of the other ones.
We could just literally listen Overwatch to our... Like, we should just literally listen to our last year's episode of Games of the Year.
Or we could just fucking Google it.
We could. But since we're doing it live, I think we should move on to our next topic. This is not going to be anywhere near as long as our Games of the Years, because I've pretty much just picked one apiece. But I want to move on to talk about our Film of the Year and then our TV Series of the Year. And shall we do Album of the Year? I only listened to like one, so it wins by default.
Can do.
I don't really listen to albums as a whole. I just really just listen to songs and be like, oh, that's good rhythms and tunes. Which sounds very monkey of me, but it's just what I do.
Oh, you know me, I've listened to over 1,000 albums released in 2023, so there you go. So we want to go on films first?
Yeah, films first.
Films, right, let's whack up my list, because mine's going to be no fucking surprise.
Oh no, I've just seen a few, and I'm like...
Now
I'm not really sure.
I think I've only seen 3 films this year.
I'm not really sure what I'd pick.
Okay, so if I list off my 3 films,
yeah,
let's see if you guys can get an idea of what's my favourite. So I've seen Metallica 72 Seasons, right. I've seen Barbie,
right,
and I've seen Suzume.
Suzume is a 2022 film.
Oh, is it?
Yep.
Did you not see Oppenheimer?
No, I didn't see Oppenheimer. The reason why I thought it was a 2023 one is because every time I looked on like best 2023 films, Suzume kept popping up. So
no.
Some sort of Mandela butterfly effect has just happened.
It's like what we said about Warhammer 40,000 Darktide. It came out on Xbox in 2023, but it was originally released on PC last year. It's the same with Suzume. It was released in Japan 2022.
December 2022, like 31st of December.
It's like, well, the new Ghibli film comes out on Boxing fucking Day, but it depends if you still class that as a 2023 film. Well, it's been out for a while in Japan, but, you know, it's coming out on the last week of the year, so...
Mm. Well, I mean, yes, if you streamed it, you would have seen Suzume in December.
Mm.
Obviously, we saw it in cinema. So it's sort of, for me, by default, brings me down as my favourite film of the year. Barbie, that's my film of the year.
Interesting.
Well, it's good. Literally, it's the same thing as Starfield. If I watched Oppenheimer, that would be my film of the year. It's just I've not fucking seen it yet.
I'll tell you what's not film of the year, the fucking Marvels. I wasted fucking money to see that.
Oh, God.
Fucking hell, that is a bad film. Yeah, don't waste your money, Chris.
Wait for it to come out on Disney Plus.
Yeah, it's bad. Like, it's not even like me going, oh, it's got... It's like, it's just a bad film. Like, from top to bottom, it's just a bad film. But what is a good film? I don't know. There was a lot of films I really enjoyed. My problem is I'm like, enjoyment... And then the impact of the film. And I think the two I'm thinking of is Oppenheimer, John Wick 4, and Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. And I'm not really sure which. And I feel like ultimately I'd probably say John Wick 4, just because it has some deep emotional themes and it's a really good action film. I would just say it does have that John Wick effect where the action just continues and continues and continues. And sometimes you're like, yeah, I get it, John Wick. You can fucking kill your own assassin. I get it. But other than that, it's a great film. And I did actually fucking cry at the end.
So is that your one then, John Wick?
Yeah.
All right, Chris, moment of truth.
Yes, that leaves me. Well, initially I was going to just do like my top one, but the more I've thought about it since you guys have been doing, I suppose I could do a quick top five as well. Initially, when I was thinking like, oh, my film of the year, my brain immediately jumped to Guardians of the Galaxy 3. That's probably my favourite film of the year.
Yeah, that's a good film. That's really good.
However, after thinking about it for a little bit more, there's one film I preferred just a teensy bit more. But actually, thematically, it's quite similar to Guardians 3.
I think I know what you're going to say.
Dungeons and Dragons, yeah. Honor Among Thieves.
Yeah,
I really like that film. I've seen it multiple times.
What I find funny is that film and Baldur's Gate 3 they're both set in the same universe.
Yeah, because it's all D&D stuff. I just thought about it. It's like, I really did enjoy Guardians 3. I really liked the villain in it. I thought it was fantastic. Rocket's backstory was done well. And I just like the dynamic between the characters. But in its own bubble, on its own merit, on its own two feet, Dungeons & Dragons, it's the same kind of humour. And it was a fun time. I showed it to my folks and they really liked it as well. They had a blast. So, I called it a win.
I believe they're planning to do a sequel.
Yes, I believe they are, because I think it did very well. And it kind of pisses all over the one from 99. Good, it sort of overshadowed that, which is great news. I suppose I was initially going to say, I'll give an honourable mention to this, but fuck it, I'll just call it number three after Dungeons and Guardians. The Tetris film. I really like the Tetris film. That was funny and entertaining with Taron Egerton, just telling you the story of how Tetris came to be and the political struggles in the 80s with the Russians and Robert Maxwell. All true, but yeah, that was very entertaining. After that, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. I mean, come on, it's Spider-Man.
Yeah.
It was good. It looked very pretty, but I preferred the story from Guardians 3 and Dungeons and Dragons and Tetris there.
Mm.
And just to make it a nice, uneven top five, I'm going to go with Saw X, because I wasn't expecting much from it and I very much enjoyed it. And I've not seen like a horror film I've actually enjoyed for quite a while, and I did enjoy that.
Someone today literally was at work, was asking me about films, and he mentioned Saw X and he said it was really good. So yeah, you're not the only one.
Yeah, I'd say I saw it on a whim. I wasn't initially planning to see it, but it's just how it worked with time. It was like, it's like my bus is ages away. It's like, okay, I'll just go watch Saw. So I did. And I'm glad I did, because one, he gave me something to talk about on the podcast, and secondly, I actually quite enjoyed it. I thought it would be absolute garbage, but I think the Saw franchise, it's had its up and downs, especially to Spiral. But after that, Saw X was a delightful return to form. And I very much enjoyed it. But yeah, that's my top five. So, Saw X, Into the Spider-Verse, Tetris, Guardians 3, and Dungeons & Dragons.
Nice.
Very nice.
I think mine's roughly similar, just a couple different. But yeah. What about TV shows?
Right, are we going to have this included as anime or just as its own?
Just as its own. I would not. TV shows and anime are different.
Okay, for which case, I've seen one TV show this year. And even then, I've not finished it.
Right.
The Witcher Season 3.
Ah.
And we know how that's gone, because I've not finished it.
Well, I'll tell you this. My sister finished Season 3, and she turned round to me and said, it was bad. And I was like, okay, I did not expect my sister to say that. So there you go. That tells you everything. For me, it's The Bear Season 2. Fucking hell, they've announced Season 3, and I cannot fucking wait. That show is incredible, and I highly, highly recommend it, especially to you, Chris. I really recommend that show to you.
Actually, here's the thing. I did actually start watching it on your recommendation. I got about 5 episodes in, and I got pretty bored with it.
Dun, dun, dun.
That's with all my kitchen management experience. It's not doing anything for me. Sorry.
Oh, well.
You like it? Fine.
I know, exactly. You know, opinions.
Like arseholes, we've all got one.
Well, apart from Bobby Kotick, who's got multiple. He is just one big giant arsehole.
What about for you, Chris?
For me, I've not seen many series this year, because I don't watch an awful lot of TV series. I wrote down what I I thought was going to be my favourite series. But then you mentioned Twisted Metal earlier. I was like, oh, I forgot about Twisted Metal. I really, really like that series. But I'm actually going to put that as number two, if such a thing exists. That's my honourable mention, Twisted Metal. My number one series of the year, and again, I don't think this is surprising, but The Last of Us, very, very good. Mm. And it got my folks interested into the universe. And they ain't going to play the games, but they've watched the series and they really, really enjoyed it. And I really enjoyed it. It is mostly just the game, but the game's fantastic, so I ain't complaining.
Exactly.
I mean, there was like a whole episode that's like unique to it, and there's a few extra bits added in, just like, you know, DLC, I guess. Yeah, it's just really well shot. It's very well acted. It's plenty of action. Everything you really want from a game adaptation. Like, you can't complain that it isn't accurate to the source material. It's fucking one for one. It's like recreates all the painstakingly recreates a lot of the scenes and the exact same camera angles. And I was just very impressed with it. Even like watching the series just for like the first time, and even in my head, I was comparing it to the game because I've played it several times, and I was just noting bits and pieces. Like, that's a fucking same camera angle. It's the same thing. I've known this place. I know what's coming. I did wonder if they were going to tweak it massively, but no, they didn't. But I think it works. So I'm looking forward to season two as well.
Have they confirmed that?
Yes, they have. Mm. Otherwise, the only other series I watched was Loki and Ahsoka.
You got Mandalorian season three.
Is that this year? I keep thinking that was last year.
I believe that was this year. Pretty sure.
Doesn't time fly?
I'm pretty sure Mandalorian season three was this year.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Oh, Mando season three was really good, but yeah, The Last of Us was better.
Yeah, probably say maybe Ahsoka as well, but for me it was The Bear, but yeah. Brandon, did you want to mention... Yeah, we can mention anime quickly.
So anime overall, I wouldn't say it's been an amazing year.
No.
It's been a lot of season two, season threes come out. Not really that many nice originals. But the later season's been better for originals than the whole rest of the year.
The current anime season, the last one, have been better than the early... first two.
I'm just gonna open up my list because there's one anime on my list which I just want to check. It definitely came out this year.
Well, while you're checking, my top three: number three, Jujutsu Kaisen season two. Despite everything that's going on at MAPPA, that season's absolutely incredible, but I hate hearing all the fallout over season two, but it's one of those you can't do anything about it. Basically, animators have been sending death threats, been saying about committing suicide for being overworked and underpaid, and yeah, they've been like strikes and all that. It's frustrating because I can't do anything to help them. I just consume the product they're making, and I'm happy with what they do, but I can't help their working conditions, which is frustrating, but oh well. And number two, it's Free Ren. It's an absolute masterpiece. I mentioned this to you, Brandon. I think the older I get, the more themes that of like death and life and death really resonate with me, and this is a show that really does. It has a lot about memories, a lot about life, a lot about death, a lot about connections, and it's just such a great show, like with its world building and character development and themes. I absolutely love it. And then my top anime is Vinland Saga season 2. Pretty much everything I said about Free Ren can be applied to Vinland Saga. Pretty much both of them are just stunning. Visually, sound, story, like, you know, Vinland Saga is in the category of anime that Chris should watch. So there you go.
Yeah, I'm just having a quick look on MAL for like all the different seasonal anime that came out.
Actually, Vinland Saga is not just in that category. It's in the category of, I think I could show it to my family, and I would like to think they'd move past the fact that it's a fucking anime and that it's actually just a good fucking story.
Yeah, you'd like to hope so.
Well, it's like everyone who loved Vikings, I'm just like, here's Vinland Saga, it's fucking better. On a story standpoint.
Mm. It's like... So I'm just going to break this down to like the different seasonal anime. So like, winter 2023, you had Vinland Saga season 2, Tomo-chan Isn't a Girl. You had what else in there? You had Nagatoro. What else was in this bit? Not really that many that I did actually get around to watching in that one. Spring 23, we had Demon Slayer. We had Oshinoko, Hell's Paradise, Dr. Stone, Mashley. Yep. Summer 2023, we have the start of Jujutsu Kaisen Season 2. We had Mushoku Tensei Season 2. Some 101, The Bleach 1000 Year War Part 2. No, sorry, part... Was that part 1?
No, part 2.
That's part 1, shit. Yeah, part 2. And then Masamune Kurohige. Oh, and then this season, we've had...
Frieren.
And bits like that. So if I was to rate the anime which I have enjoyed the most this year, I'm torn. Of all the anime I've watched this year, the one which I had the best time watching and had an absolute blast watching is Mashle. I had so much fun watching that. Or if it's not Mashle or Mashle, fuck it. No, I'm changing it. Season 2 Mushoku Tensei, because he finally got over his erectile dysfunction.
That is what the season's about, technically.
Am I gay? No.
She's a girl.
Yeah, I'm gonna say Mushoku Tensei has been my favorite anime of the year, because this year I've watched season 1 and season 2, and it's been a good ride. Mm. So yeah, Mushoku Tensei.
Yeah. For me, the most disappointing was Demon Slayer season 3. That was so disappointing. Doing the same thing what they did with season 3, where they had the end of season 2 and the start of season 3 as a film. They're doing the same thing with season 4.
I mean, I can see the fight with the Upper Moon 4 being fun, but it's just the thing that ruined it for me. It was just Upper Moon 5 just sucked ass, and it just was very anticlimactic, and it just left a bit of a sour spot in me.
I just thought the whole season was fucking boring. But anyway, music. Been on anime too long.
Hold on. Where's my anime of the year?
Oh yeah, you've seen something.
Did you?
I have seen precisely fuck all when it comes to anime. So my anime of the year is nothing. I was about to say Edgerunners and then realised that came out in September last year. So
yeah. The only thing there is one anime I do want to watch, hopefully before the end of the year, before I do my personal top 10, and that's an anime called Pluto, which I found out about from the latest Trash Taste episode, because it's an Astro Boy anime, which I did not realize. So I'm gonna try and watch that before the end of the year, but then the new season of Pokemon's out and the new season of Hilda's out, and I'm trying to still go through Attack on Titan, so I'm like, ah, fuck. So we'll see. But anyway, our favourite music of the year. Who wants to start? Well, let's go alphabetical order. Brandon.
Well, I've not really had any albums that I've just outright listened to. So I can't... Likewise with Chris with the anime one, I can't really contribute to anything amazing here, because most of the stuff I've been listening to this year...
You're wrong.
I've only found out... What's that?
You're wrong on that.
What?
You have...
Oh, 72 seasons.
Exactly.
Fucking hell. So by default, it's 72 fucking seasons.
Exactly.
Which, when I watched it in cinemas, it was quite nice vibes. But it's not one of these albums that I could just go out of my way to listen to. Like, it sounded fun, but apart from, like, Lars fucking everything up. But, yeah, by default, it's 72 seasons.
Mm-hmm. Chris?
Okay. Yeah, I've listened to fuck all new music this year. So, by default, it's not 72 seasons, because that's one album I did listen to. But I'm going to go with, even if I did listen to a load of other albums, I'm pretty sure this would still be my top pick regardless. But it's the album But Here We Are by Foo Fighters.
I knew you'd pick that.
I really like Foo Fighters. Dave Grohl's one of my heroes. And with the tragic passing of Taylor Hawkins, this album, every single song on it, is just a sort of in memoriam.
Mm.
We miss you, our brother.
I need to give it another listen.
Every song's really heartfelt, and I don't use this word very often, but beautiful. Yeah. It, for me, a great album has to have one feature, and that's the ability to just press play and leave it alone. Not one thing on there, you feel. Yeah, this album's great. Apart from track 6, there's that. No, that doesn't happen on this. You just press play.
Fucking hell. Because this has just happened live while we're recording, my mate has just messaged me. I messaged him early going, watch it out, Game of the Year. He just messaged me. So my mate Ben, his favourite Game of the Year is Resident Evil 4 Remake. There you go, there's another person who likes that game. Sorry to break the flow, but there you go.
That's alright. Oh wait, no, there was one more album I listened to this year. It's pretty good, but it's not as good as the Foo Fighters one. That's the album Smile by Skindred.
Yeah, oh, yeah. It was better effort by Skindred in a long time, because
Big Things is like one of my top 10 albums, like, period, in 2018.
Don't agree, but that's the beauty of opinions. But I think Smile is one of the better efforts in a good while. I was quite surprised by it, actually. I was like, oh, for me, I just think Skindred sound the fucking same every album, and I personally don't think they write the best albums. And I was quite surprised by Smile. I thought it was one of the most surprising albums for me this year. For me, I listen to so much. I haven't really got a top 10. Yeah, I've got maybe three-ish. I don't know if they're even my top three, but three albums that stood out for me. My favourite album this year is called The Worm by a band called HMLTD. HM Limited, or I think it's just HMLTD. Their album called The Worm. It is a concept album about a worm swallowing a country. Take that what you will. It is absolutely incredible. It has themes of love, themes of death, themes of life, mental health themes, and all of it is about a fucking worm. Yep. When you've got songs like Worm's Dream, Worm's Lands, Saddest Worm Ever, The Worm, you know, it's such a good album. I absolutely adore it. So yeah, another album, that's my album of the year. Another album that I've actually got on vinyl is the new Holding Absence album, The Noble Art of Self-Destruction. I bought this album on vinyl. I actually met the band. I actually wore an anime t-shirt just so the singer could make a comment, and he did. They're lovely lads, lovely, great album, great band. I'm sad I didn't get to see them last week. No, not last week, 2 weeks ago, but I went to a different gig in the same fucking city. But Holding Absence are like the second, for me, the second coming of a Funeral for a Friend band, and I absolutely love them. Great album. I think, and a third, it's a very different genre, because the Worm is a bit, is an art punk rock album, and then Holding Absence is a post-hardcore rock album. My third pick is an album called Bewitched by an artist called Lufay, which I don't really know how to describe the genre, but I don't know how to describe the genre. It's very different, but I really like it. She's like a singer-songwriter. On Spotify, it says she brings jazz and classical music to the new generation. That's a good idea.
It sounds like jazz.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I've even bought it for my dad for Christmas. My dad doesn't listen to the podcast, so I can say that. So yeah, I've even bought this album for my dad for Christmas. To be fair, I bought him my album of the year as well. And I did tell him, like, give it a chance, and he did. And he said he did really enjoy it. Although the other two albums I bought him, he preferred, which I knew he would. But that's when you know your parents. There you go. So there, they're my some notable albums. I could list so many. I even bought another vinyl of an album that came out this year, because I went to see that band live, and it's just a really good fucking punk album. So, but you know, there's so many great albums this year. I was telling someone at my past work, you know, there's always really good music every year, but there's also a lot of shit. But there's some albums that are just stone cold classics each year. You just gotta find them.
So what categories have we missed off, or is that it?
I don't know. Of like media, that's probably it, really. Unless there's anything we've read that we want to shout out.
Nope.
Exactly.
So we've not really. So let's just have a look at, while we're here and we're sort of all together, should we have a look at what 2024 has in tease for us?
Well, I was thinking about that. I'm not going to look. I'm just trying to go from memory of what are we looking forward to next year?
I don't know what's coming out next year.
So there's a few games coming out in January. We've got Momodora, Radiance, Apollo Justice 8 Attorney Trilogy, Prince of Persia, Arklands, Another Code, Graven, Howl. Oh. What's that?
Another Code. Oh, I am interested in that, actually.
Echo although Fate that's as well.
Although that's just a visual novel, but I am interested in Another Code.
You've got Persona 3 Reload in February as well, if that interests you.
Maybe. I've still got the, I don't know, it depends if they fixed some of the things that I don't like about Persona 3.
Dragon's Dogma 2 coming out in March. Destiny 2, Black Myth. There's Black Myth Wukong, whatever that is, which sounds interesting.
Game releases.
It looks like is that another Wolong? No, it's not Black Myth Wukong. Is that another Soulsborne? Yeah, it's another Souls-like. Okay, interesting. I've got to add that to my list then.
Oh, are you just on
GameSpot?
Oh, I'm on Wikipedia as to Weldy's delight.
But yeah, there's a few games on here which obviously titles might sound interesting, but without me having an idea of what the game actually is, I can't really have an opinion of it.
Yeah.
There's a G.I. Joe game coming out.
Right.
Wrath of Cobra.
Right.
John Carpenter's Toxic Commando. Killing Floor 3. Kill It With Fire 2. That's coming, Chris.
I just keep seeing loads of fucking remakes already. Because I've seen like Star Wars Dark Forces remake. Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons remake. Tomb Raider 1, 2, and 3 remake. And then I've seen some other ones. It's like, once again, another year of remakes. Yeah.
One I'm looking forward to the most, which was supposedly coming out this year, but got pushed back. And we thought, oh, when's it pushed back to? And turns out it's like pushed back to March. And then we checked again. It's been pushed back till September.
Oh, I know. Exactly. I know what you're going to say.
Space Marine 2, which, again, I'm more interested because I've actually played the first one. Like, again, I don't know much about 40K at all. I've literally just played Space Marine and Balkan, but they were both good games. And so my chat's interested in that kind of thing. So I'm looking forward to streaming that when he finally comes. I might even get that day one because I know people are eager for it. And I hope it's not shit. It's Focus Entertainment that do it. Like, so they normally do quite good things. They're one of the studios that I like a fair bit. They're like the underdogs. They're like, the release games always a bit janky, they're always a bit shit, but I still enjoy them.
I'm still seeing loads of like HDs or remakes as I'm going down this list. I'm like, how many more have we got for next year? What? Why is Octopath Traveler 2 on here? What the fuck? Wait, what is this part of the list? Unscheduled releases. It's got what? I thought Octopath Traveler 2 is already on everything. What? What's it not on?
Bandai Wonderswan? Not on there.
Steam Deck.
Well, it's on everything. Oh, I know what it's not on. Xbox.
Tommy Jaguar.
Xbox. That's why. There you go. It's not on Xbox. There's your answer. That's why it's going to be. It's got a release date for next year. Yeah.
Well, film-wise, there's Doom Part 2 coming out, Furiosa, Deadpool 3, supposedly Beetlejuice 2, but they've said that about 8,000 times. So Blade, supposedly. Well, it says Blade 2024, but then you highlight it, it says 2025, so make your mind up.
No, it's definitely not next year. Definitely not next year.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they've already said Deadpool 3 is like the only Marvel thing slated to come out next year. Like,
yeah, because they fucking dropped the fucking ball on Marvel this year.
Yeah, well, I think we're all in agreement. We kind of need a break from it for a little bit. With the exception of Deadpool, we wouldn't want that. Give us that immediately. But that probably would have come out this year had it not been for the writer's strike and other things like delaying its production. Inside Out 2, you care about that?
Mm.
I think it's meant to come out next year. Part 2 of the new Mission Impossible, which yes. I wanted to see part 1 on Dead Reckoning, and I've not had a chance to see that, which is a shame. Because that probably would have made my films of the years, but not seen it.
I think it's my dad's film of the year. But I haven't. I've not really asked him. But I think he did message me saying, "Oh, it's my favorite film this year." So,
Oh, of course, Ghostbusters: Frozen Empire coming out. I'm very much looking forward to that.
I'm weirdly skeptical. I really like Afterlife, but this new one, I don't know. I'm not sure, but we'll see.
Well, Afterlife was kind of like Ghostbusters 1.5, like. It's a very, very similar story, similar beats to the original. But the Frozen Empire is like doing its own thing now. So I'll be interested to see what direction it goes. Mm. I mean, worst comes to worst, it's got Paul Rudd in it. How could you be angry at that, man?
The vampire, he never ages.
Yeah, maybe he's a ghost. That makes sense.
Well, now, since this is going to be our last episode of 2023, how do we feel we were as a podcast this year?
Well, we didn't miss a single episode again.
No, we
nearly
didn't.
Did.
We're very good.
Nearly did.
Thanks, copyright bots.
Cancel culture. God damn it.
Oh, yeah. Well, we sorted it.
We've had some exciting ones this year. We've had quite a few laid back ones, but exciting ones this year.
Yeah, we had Weldy on, we had Adrian on.
Who knows? We might even have another guest on this year. We'll see.
We'll see. What do you mean next year?
Maybe.
Oh, what do you mean by that?
Very ominous.
Well, we're not going to have one on this year. A bit late now. Unless you're very, very quick and jump up to the microphone.
Well, we might be recording another episode this year, but we won't be releasing another episode this year after this one.
No, no, this is your lot. So you miss your window for 2023, everyone.
I think we, you know, I think stuff like having Weldy and Adrian on were some really fun episodes, and I like to do some more things like that. But I also think I think, like, when I look at our podcast, I feel like every 30 episodes we change. I feel like the first 30 episodes, I didn't know how to edit the podcast. And since then, I feel like every episode we've released since has been tight on editing. Well,
yeah.
Maybe the volume of our microphones has been up and down on some of those episodes, but I think on how the information we deliver to your ears has been the tightest it's been since about episode 30-ish. And then
To think when we first started doing this recording on the Sunday afternoons as we originally did, and I was hungover as fuck because I've been drinking the night before, and now I don't drink, so I'm stone cold sober every single stream.
Still never looking back.
I'm feeling great in the minute, especially hitting gym as well.
I know, I see you always like flexing out in the gym.
Yeah, well, I find it very motivating to do so. Because it's like, it's kind of like keeping a journal, like keeping a log of like your fitness levels, like doing that. Say, look what I did this week. I've got to beat that fucker. And if I don't, then I'll look like an idiot in front of everyone.
And then I feel like from episode 60 onwards, we've had a bit of a change up with how the three of us manage the podcast. And I think it's been a bit different, and it's been nice. But I feel like all three of us are helping one another more, and as things, even just the artwork for our episodes is different now. As if you've been noticing, it is different to how it has been for about 60 episodes.
Yeah, basically, a bit of behind-the-scenes knowledge for you all. So Dan wanted to take a little bit off his shoulders because he was being a bit of a stressed little egg, which is understandable. He's got a lot of work on his shoulders. So Brandon, of course, has started editing the starts of the episodes, like the cold openers, and I've been doing the thumbnails, doing a bit of social media, which Dan does as well, on the Instagram account. So I'm sure you know this, guys, but if you see Victory Achieves stuff on like other social media, it's me posting it, but I'm pretty sure you're aware of that. You can probably tell by my writing style.
I think you can tell
pretty obvious.
I think on our Instagram you can tell if it's a post by me, and you can tell if it's a post by you.
Oh yeah.
But there's nothing wrong with that, it's just that's how it is.
Yeah, that's how we are.
Yeah.
We all have the same personalities. There's no point in having
three presenters. Exactly. So who knows what will happen in the next 30 episodes? All I can tell you is this. I know exactly what we're calling the next episode.
Nice.
Exactly.
Yeah. Kicking off the new year of episode 69.
Nice. Well, thank you all for listening for this year. Hopefully you'll continue to listen next year.
Yeah. If you think our lists have been completely wrong, again, bear in mind this is only what we've had time to play and watch. We have not played and watched every single piece of media that's come out. I think some people forget that. A lot of people say, oh, you didn't say this and you said that. Yeah, I didn't fucking play it.
No.
That's why.
Like, I only just started playing Final Fantasy 16 yesterday. Well, I've time of recording yesterday, when this is out, 2 weeks ago. I thought I might talk about it on this episode, but I haven't, and I'll talk about it next episode because I have more time. I've not even started Spider-Man 2. I got it when I got my PS5. I want to play Miles Morales before I play Spider-Man 2. I want to take my time, so you know.
Yeah. I've already got two games lined up to talk about in the next episode, which I thought I might have got around to today, but nah, it doesn't fit with the flow.
Yeah, exactly.
So they're on the back burner.
So, your next episode, you'll have those two games from Chris. You'll have Final Fantasy 16. Maybe Spider-Man, who knows? Depends if I decide to play it in whatever Brandon's bringing.
Yeah, whatever I'm bringing.
Yeah. Plus, we'll be meeting up for Victory Achieved Xmas dinner as well. So you'd have already seen the post by then.
I was about to say, probably seen
the pictures. We might have a funny story to tell you on the show.
Oh yeah, we'll talk about Christmas presents next episode. Yeah.
Still fucking jealous of the presents I've got you guys.
Same.
I can't find them again anywhere either, which is what's more frustrating. I bought the last ones.
I would say I'm jealous, but I don't have the one what I bought you. I don't have myself, but I'm fine with not having that when it's. I feel it's more better for you two, and well, when you see what it is, you'll understand. But then obviously, Brandon, it's your birthday as well soon.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at the time of recording, it's been your birthday. You're finally 29.
Yep, get off. Oh, fucking hell. So I've just gone into Steam, just have a quick browse on what's upcoming, and I have just found a game on there, and I'm just going to screenshot it and send it to you guys and call it quits from there.
Right. I don't know. Okay. I don't know what to have. Well, You've done this before. You've done this before, and I don't like this. You've done this before. Right. Anyway.
Well, that's the end of that episode, everyone. We will not tell you what happened in this show.
Yep.
Use your imagination.
Yep.
I'll say this though, it probably won't be as disappointing as Starfield.
What? Oh, I'll second that. But anyway,
2 gigabytes of RAM to run it, fucking hell.
Anyway,
you do realise, Brandon, next time we have a guest on this show and they join the chat, they're going to be able to scroll up and see that. I look forward to that.
It's an open world RPG as well.
Oh, fucking hell.
If you say so.
How do you find...
Open hole RPG.
I wonder how you find these, but I don't want... Anyway.
My feature to recommend it.
What are you fucking buying on Steam?
No, wait, no, wasn't my feature recommended? Where did I see it?
What the fuck are you buying on Steam?
I can't even see it now. Where's it gone? Never mind, it's just disappeared since I sent it to you.
Right.
Well, we're closing out this year with a very confusing statement for everyone listening, so we'll carry on as we mean to go on, I suppose. Yeah. Next year.
I've been
Chris.
Well,
I've been Brandon.
Well, I'm been Dan, but you know what you can do. Follow us on social media. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Listen to us on all the podcast streaming sites like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music. What's the other ones? Audible. Many other ones. We have over 6. I can't remember how many. Listen, watch these two on Twitch. Say happy birthday to Brandon a day late. I don't know what else to say. Thank you for listening to us this year. Have a great Christmas and a happy new year.
Good, happy new year, everyone.
Yeah, I'll see you next year. Have a good one.
And is everybody happy?
That's a very loaded question now. How much time you got?
not much. I've got to go to bed. So, you'll hear us soon. Be safe. Have a great Christmas and new year. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.